All right, everybody, welcome back to Tech Gumbo. I am Haggai Davis III, along with Haggai Davis II, and we are here to welcome you to our show. Tech Gumbo is conversational about the past, present, and future of all things technology. We really try and keep it topical, interesting, and digestible. We are excited to have Cardinal Capital as part of our sponsor now, and Cardinal Capital connects businesses to capital. Doesn't matter what business you're in, Cardinal Capital has resources all across the U.S. that are willing to help fund your organization, no matter its size, category, location, or life cycle location. Cardinal Capital works with you to craft the best commercial finance package you can have to achieve your business goals. Whether you are looking to refinance current debts in order to take advantage of the new government programs and favorable interest rates, or you're trying to finance new equipment, maybe you're trying to expand your business or acquire another one entirely, Cardinal Capital has the resources to make it happen. Banks seek out Cardinal Capital to help with loans that the bank cannot do. Cardinal Capital guys are easy and fun to work with and great to be around. Contact them today at 225-308-3700 or send them an email at info@cardinalcap.net. They'll be happy to help with you and your commercial finance needs. So, you excited for another Tech Gumbo segment?
Absolutely. Love this.
So, we closed the last segment talking about how large Facebook was in terms of usership, saying the number sits somewhere just shy of 3 billion active users. But the crazy part is we were digging around and found that Facebook's not the biggest company in terms of dollars. That's there's actually a couple companies that are larger than most countries. And we just thought it'd be fun to talk about that for a little bit.
So the biggest of the companies, their gross domestic product, if you will, is Apple, worth more than $2.2 trillion. Now, when you think, okay, that's a lot of money, there's only 9 countries in the world that have a domestic product bigger than Apple.
Yeah, Apple is larger than Italy, larger than Brazil, larger than Canada. That's pretty big, you know. that means that they're only smaller than the US itself, Japan, Germany, China. Like that's not a whole lot of people that Apple's smaller than,
you know. And that's just amazing to think about. And so then who's number two? That would be Microsoft at $1.8 trillion. And so Microsoft is bigger than Canada, bigger than Russia, South Korea, Australia, Spain, Mexico. The only ones they're not bigger than is the US and China and India and the UK and Germany. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Right. And Amazon sits slightly below that at $1.6 trillion per year. So they are, again, right there. They're larger than the entire continent of Australia, larger than the burgeoning South Korea. These are important places in the world that have millions of people and are still aren't as big as these three tech giants.
When you're the only countries, India, China, Russia, the UK, France, Germany, and Brazil are the only things bigger than you, you're big. You're really, really big.
Yeah, and it speaks to the power that a lot of these companies have. And that's why we were covering the Facebook and Australia and the Google and Australia story, is because both Google and Facebook are about the same size as Australia. And so if they just wanted to say, we're bigger than you, we don't need you, they could have told an entire continent to shove off.
We could, Facebook or Apple or you know, one of these three companies, they could buy Australia. I mean, yeah. I'm just, with their net worth, they can, they're, let's just cut the card and whoever's worth more wins. And Australia loses to these countries, companies. That's just mind-blowing when you're that big.
Yeah, it's, we really are in a different world with the size of these companies, and it's going to be fascinating to see how we continue to evolve between, you know, the European Union, the US, Australia, trying to make sure that they band together so that they're big enough so that they don't get pushed around, because right now they definitely could. So that's why we're covering those things.
We talk about them because it matters. And when you're that big, when you're the big, big kid on the playground, bigger than almost everybody else on the playground, you garner attention real fast. And so, wow, I did not realize before we started pulling this all together just how big that big really was.
Yeah, you hear numbers like trillions of dollars thrown around, but whenever you put it in perspective of, okay, that's what $2 trillion actually means. It is our entire neighbor to the north. Like, that's pretty wild.
When you think, okay, Apple is $2.2 trillion, the U.S. budget is about $5 trillion. I mean, they're almost half of what the U.S. budget is. That's insane.
Yeah.
But these are global companies, though. They're not just a U.S. presence. I mean, every one of these companies has, they have big footprints in every country on the planet. So then when you're aggregating their total back, that's why they're so big.
Oh, yeah. And I bet most of these people aren't making most of their money here in America. I bet the growth of India, the growth of China, the growth of a lot of those places, there's just more people there who are currently using those products at a lower penetration rate. And so it's way easier to go from, you know, 10% of China's using Amazon to 40% versus 90% of America to 93% of America. Absolutely. And so that's also, you know, we're talking about Facebook's growth, that there are a lot of people in America leaving Facebook. But whenever you have 100,000 people in America who are leaving Facebook, that pales in comparison to, you know, all of these people in the second world who are developing countries that are gaining access to these new technologies.
When you have, you know, a million new people adding Facebook in India, and you had 100,000 people leaving in the U.S., well, gee, I can tell very quickly how that number happened the way it did. So that's fascinating that those companies are just that big.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And we also, as we're getting into the main story of the second segment, wanted to talk about a big Supreme Court ruling that came out. And we're actually kind of excited about this one. This one seems to have been a technology ruling that has reasonable implications.
So the Supreme Court ruled that Google was okay to use the software that Oracle had developed, or parts of the software, when Google was creating the Android software.
Right. So the first thing we need to talk about is an API. Because an API is at the crux of this whole argument. It stands for Application Programming Interface. And an API is just the piece of software that sits between two larger pieces of software and allows them to interact and interface together.
And so if you've written some custom software and you want your software to interact with a Windows PC, then you have to have an API that allows your software to communicate with your Windows PC. If you want it to interact with a Mac, then that's a different API specific for the Mac. If you're going to a Linux server or to, you know, smartphones or to websites, the each one of those is a different API that allows your unique software to be able to communicate with different devices.
Right. And normally the larger developer will already have the tools to interact with their software. So like if I wanted to, you know, write some code that went to use Microsoft Teams, then Microsoft might already have some public APIs, so I could, you know, write my own program to change the setting inside of Teams. That's whenever you would use an API. Also, if you have a database and you want someone to be able to, you know, pull some information out of your database, you would make some APIs available, so it was a whole lot easier for them to go in and they could only get what you want them to take out of it.
And so a large company like a Microsoft, they may say, okay, here's the API that you can tweak into your system so that you, or you can write your code to where it'll hit this standard API that we have. And so what happened here is Google went out and they were using an API that Sun Microsystems, which now Oracle owns, this was part of the Java programming language. And Google used part of that Java script to create the Android operating system. They didn't use the whole Java. They used a small portion of it, but they did definitely use some of the Java code when they were building out the Android operating system that, you know, all of the Android phones around the world use now.
Right. So Oracle was upset about this. Oracle said, hey, the Java, you know, we own Java. That's ours. You guys used it. You used it illegally. And so Oracle sued Google. It has spent a long amount of time bouncing through various different courts, and it hit the Supreme Court. It was argued back in October, and the final ruling was issued just recently.
The Supreme Court ruled 6-2, and that was only because the newest justice had not been on the court yet when this whole thing was heard. That's why she didn't vote. But the majority ruled that Google did not infringe. There was not a copyright that for this API. So Google was okay to use the code that they did.
So there's two different questions that were at play here. The first question was whether or not an API is actually copyrightable. And the second question is whether Google's use of an API would violate copyright infringements. So the Supreme Court said, we're not going to answer the question of whether or not APIs are copyrightable. But they said, we're going to assume that they might be copyrightable. But they said that question doesn't matter because Google's use of the API falls very clearly under fair use. And so therefore, it doesn't matter whether or not it was copyrighted because this is totally fine.
Justice Breyer wrote the majority of the opinion. And he basically compared this to the copyright protection that a novel would get versus a dictionary would get or the copy of the Yellow Pages would get. A unique piece of work like a novel is going to be very strongly protected. But something open-ended, open-sourced like a dictionary, it's hard to get a copyright on a dictionary because it's just out there in the public domain now.
Right. Dictionaries are more utilitarian. They're more technical. They're more functional. And just the way that our laws work, you have less protections of something like that. And an API is a specific tool designed to let two bigger pieces of software talk to each other. And because it's such a functional tool, that again pushes it more towards the fair use than the copyrightable.
And so there were a lot of companies that sided with Google. Microsoft was one of them. They jumped in and they wrote an amicus brief urging the Supreme Court to actually side with Google, saying that, hey, look, developers, when they rely on sharing and modifying and enhancing previously developed code to create new products and develop new functionality. So Microsoft is saying, look, we all use everybody else's code to kind of learn from and build on. Doesn't mean that we're copying their code. We're building on it. We're making what they had better.
it's also really important if you want your stuff to work with someone else's stuff that you let us use their API. Because if APIs start becoming protected, that means I have to start paying to have my software talk to their software, and that's not going to happen. And so we either end up in the world where everything is super siloed, or we end up in the world wherever your Microsoft product can, you know, Google something and it can use Java to do that. That's the world which is a whole lot more user friendly. That's the world that we much more want to end up in, and that we did end up in for now.
For now, yes. So, and to be fair, Google only used 11,500 lines of code from Java when they were building out the 2.8 million lines that Oracle's Java total is made up of. So they borrowed, they used a couple of lines of functional, code that said, this is how we're setting it up. This is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. It was nothing so very unique and specific that the Supreme Court said, yeah, you're right.
Right. It was, such a small portion of the total Java. It also is, again, really useful. What Google borrowing these APIs allowed was it meant that people who are writing apps on the Android could write them in Java. That's been a huge boon for the whole app industry, is it because it meant that Google didn't have to create their own language from the ground up, and that people didn't have to learn a whole new language just to write Android apps. It meant everyone who'd already spent all that time learning Java could still use Java, and all those people, while they may not like Java itself, are glad that that skill is transferable.
And, oh, by the way, Oracle, Sun Micro, Oracle, they're still making money by selling Java to everybody who's developing these apps for Android phones that was written on, the Google platform. So don't feel like, you got to be brokenhearted or worried about Oracle. They're doing okay, too.
Absolutely. And so we actually ended up in a pretty good place with this. So that's pretty cool that legal scholars and the Supreme Court and, Google and Microsoft all say, this is the world that we want to live in. And we got there. So, we'd like to have our laws be precedent. But in the case where it has to go to the Supreme Court, occasionally it comes out the way that we're happy with.
Yeah, considering you had 8 people who probably know how to use a computer but don't know much more about it than that, came out with the right decision. Very good job.
Right. So the place where this gets more complicated, as we really like to talk about, is Section 230. And so Justice Thomas, one of the reasons why he voted against the Google ruling was he said that it didn't challenge the question of whether or not code could be copyrighted in the first place. He wanted a ruling on whether or not the APIs were copyrightable. And so the fact that the Supreme Court didn't rule on that is part of why he voted no. He's also making waves saying that we should begin to consider social media giants like Facebook, Twitter, and Google as utilities.
Yeah, this is one of those uh-oh moments where, he was talking this was in a public forum. He was not sitting on the bench when he made these comments, but he basically put Section 230 in the crosshairs and said, we either need to blow it up, get rid of it, or get out of the way and let it go.
Right. So his argument was stemming from Twitter banning Donald Trump whenever he was president, because his argument was that Twitter is, because it is such a public platform and was being used to communicate official government information, because the Trump's tweets were deemed official government communication, that Twitter pulling the plug and preventing that communication from happening meant that Twitter was too powerful there, and that they were now limiting the freedom of speech, the First Amendment rights of American citizens, And that's an interesting argument.
It really is, because Section 230, for those of you who are new to the show, it's part of the 1996 Telecommunication Decency Act that gives the Facebooks and Twitters and Googles, the social media platforms, that give them protection so that if you go out and say something on Facebook, you can't hold Facebook liable for the things you say. Or if the president starts saying things on Twitter that are factually inaccurate, Twitter can't be held accountable. And so when Twitter steps up and says, well, we're shutting him down because we think what he's saying is wrong, well, you're bringing in First Amendment rights and you're bringing in Section 230, and there's a big battle coming. We've talked about this multiple times, and I'm really fascinated that Justice Thomas has stepped out there with the first shot.
Yeah, this is very much going to be a conversation that evolves. We knew it was coming. It is still going to be coming. But the interesting part here is the fact that a sitting member of the Supreme Court has said ahead of time, you know, kind of where he stands on this. So very much expect legislation to come out about this in the next couple, you know, months or years. Expect it to continue to be a hot button topic, and expect us on Tech Gumbo to continue to cover it. We are here on Talk 1730 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m., and the show will rerun Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of the show or you'd like to hear this or previous episodes again, you can check out our podcast on almost every platform, including TuneIn, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Deezer, and more.
And be sure to subscribe so you get notified every time a new episode is posted. You can also find us on Twitter and on Facebook. We're at Tech Gumbo Show. Or you can text us 225-255-0431. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know what you like about the show. When you're on Twitter, give us a follow. When you're on Facebook, give us a like. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.